Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. My dear friends in Christ, have you ever lost something? Of course, we've all lost something at one time or another. Car keys are probably the most inconvenient. Billfolds are the most stressful. Cell phones are the most expensive. But have you ever lost something that is irreplaceable? Say, like a child. It happened to me once. A number of years ago, my wife and I went to Walmart in Norfolk, Nebraska, and my wife had warned me, don't let Julia out of the cart because she tends to run off. She is probably about 3, maybe 4 years old. Well, as soon as Julia had departed my presence, Julia went into hysterics about wanting out of the cart. So I began to weigh my options. Headache by virtue of her screaming and yelling, or relief, I'll get her out of the cart, I'll keep a close eye on her, and everything will be great. I opted for the latter. To my chagrin, as soon as she hit the floor, no matter how close I had kept on her, she sprinted down the aisle and around the corner into the clothing department. Now, at the time, I didn't realize how much trouble I was in, but I quickly walked down the row and I looked around the corner, thought maybe we're playing peekaboo, and she was gone. So what do? When you go against your wife's orders and you lose your daughter, you search for her. And I searched high and low. I was extremely thorough. Well, to no avail, I couldn't find her. And my wife shows up, and she also joins me in the search. I'd taken my eyes off her just for a moment, and she's gone. Before too long, there's an Amber Alert, so everybody in Walmart realizes I took my eyes off my daughter. But finally, I found her in the middle of a circular coat rack, standing in the middle, peering out through the hangers, playing hide-and-go-seek with Dad. I was not amused, but I was relieved to pick her up into my arms, put her back in the cart, and there she stayed. Well, I finally took her out and we went home. This morning in our gospel lesson, we find a couple who loses their son. And you've felt that emotion, haven't you? Losing a child, if even for a moment, it is... I don't even think human words would totally engulf the emotions that you feel. It's a feeling of terror and fear and whatever else you want to add in all at one time. And this morning, that's the emotion that Mary and Joseph feel at losing Jesus. They had gone up to Jerusalem. And a good Jew goes to Jerusalem once a year to celebrate the Passover. And Jesus was 12, hadn't quite celebrated his bar mitzvah to become a man accountable for his own sin. And so Jesus was kind of a tweener between being a child and being a grown-up. And they had traveled up there and they had celebrated the Passover. But then when the end of the Passover came, they were heading back home to their hometown of Nazareth. They had went a day's journey, the scripture says. You might ask yourself, well, I've only lost a child for a couple, but how do you go a whole day and not miss your kid? Well, it's easy in those days. The women and younger children would leave first. Because the men would walk faster and the women and children slower. The women went ahead, and then the men came by a few hours later and would overtake them and then set up camp ahead of them, and it worked out really well. But Jesus being a tweener, Mary thought he was with Joseph, and Joseph thought he was with Mary, and when you finally get to the campsite, you start looking around for where's Jesus, and Jesus is nowhere to be found. We've all misplaced something, right? But to misplace a child takes things to a whole new level. But do you realize that Mary and Joseph lost the Son of God? Not car keys, not a wallet, not a billfold, not their own child that is solely their own. They had lost the very Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth. They had taken their eyes off him, and he was completely and utterly gone. When they discovered he wasn't longer with them, what did they do? The text says they returned to Jerusalem. Now, mind you, they were a day's journey from Jerusalem. Now it was dark. And the road to Jerusalem wasn't necessarily all that safe during the day, let alone at night. And Mary and Joseph had no worries of the fear for themselves. They went promptly back into Jerusalem and started searching for Christ. Our text tells us when they arrived in Jerusalem, it wasn't like Jesus was sitting at the front gate at the information counter saying, "Where have you guys been?" 3 days they looked for him. 3 days in a city that was bursting at the seam with people, faces everywhere. They were looking for Christ in every nook and corner there was. I think the natural reaction for you and me is, how do you lose the Savior of the world? Mary and Joseph, you heard the angel Gabriel. He even told you to give him the name Jesus because he's going to save their people from their sins. And now you've lost the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You took your eyes off him and now he is gone. The story is told of a couple that had a brand new baby, boy or girl. I don't remember for sure. But they invited all their friends over, and it was in the middle of the winter, so as the friends came, they had thrown their coats on the bed in the master bedroom, as most guests will do during the winter. And they all came out, and they were sharing pictures of the hospital pictures and all the new pictures of the baby that was just born. And so finally, one of the guests says, but where's the baby? We want to see the baby. The mother smiled and says, well, go ahead and go get her. It was a her. She's taking a nap in on our bed. Silence overtook the guests that were there. They had literally piled their coats on her and had suffocated the newborn child. See, this morning you and I discover that Mary and Joseph were so engrossed in their own business that they had taken their eyes off of Jesus. See, here's the challenge. What they were about doing wasn't bad. They had gone up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and now they're going back home, talking to family and friends. It's not like it's straight out evil. They're just so self-centered and self-absorbed. But just for a moment, focused on their own priorities, their own things that they need to accomplish, they completely and utterly lost focus upon Jesus Christ. Here's the question for you. Do you ever do that? You know, I'm often at the Christmas Eve services. It's kind of overwhelming at times, the guests and the visitors that come. About a third of those who are gathered are actually members of Emmanuel, and two-thirds of them aren't. Many of them are members of Emmanuel that aren't active, so they really are members. So Christmas Eve, they come, and I probably won't see them again until, I'm thinking Easter. You lose Jesus between Christmas Eve and Easter? But we do the exact same thing in our lives when we begin to look at our priorities, the things that we want, our heart's desire, instead of looking at the priorities that God has for us. In the process, we lose sight of Jesus. The first thing we need to do is adjust our priorities. But here's the question. What should our priorities be? What would God have you and I to do? Jesus helps with that. He says you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. If that were not enough, love your neighbor as yourselves. Jesus literally says, keep the Ten Commandments. Everything from no other gods to covering your neighbor's property, it's all there. But let me ask you, do you fear, love, and trust in God above all things? Do you keep your eyes upon Him at all times? Do you remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Do you misuse God's name? Before you answer that, maybe I should ask you some more. Do you honor your father and mother and those in authority over you? You ever murdered anybody? Hated them too also falls into that category. You ever commit adultery, if even in your mind? Have you ever stolen from somebody else? Have you ever brought shame upon your neighbor by ruining his reputation? Have you ever coveted your neighbor's property or his wife or husband? Of course, the answer to all those questions is yes. And you told me that yourselves. Although we didn't use these words today, but I, a poor, miserable sinner, does it sound familiar to you? When we say those words, we're acknowledging that our priorities are not always focused upon the things of God. We focus upon the things that we want to be engulfed in. If you don't believe me, Scripture also says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that no one is righteous, no, not even one." Yeah, that includes me too. Now that I've adjusted your priorities to realize that our eyes are not always focused upon God, the things He'd have us to focus upon, we need to acknowledge it before Him. Isn't that exactly what Mary and Joseph did when they realized that they had taken their eyes off Jesus and He was no longer there? What did they do? They turned around. They went back the opposite direction. They returned to Jerusalem. That's repentance. Repentance means an about face, to turn away from our sins, to retrace our footsteps back to Him. But the Small Catechism teaches that confession has two parts. First, that we acknowledge and confess our sins. But the second one is that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness. You see, as obvious as Mary and Joseph's sin of misplacing Jesus was to their relatives and to their acquaintances, so is our sins of thought, word, and deed to our Heavenly Father. Therefore, for you and I to confess our sins to God isn't telling Him something that He doesn't know, like God says, "I had no idea." It's simply acknowledging that what we have done is wrong. But here's the cool thing. If you confess your sins, God is faithful and just and will, get this, forgive you, purify you. Have you ever watched the movie Forrest Gump? And I brought this up before. You know, Forrest Gump, life is like a box of chocolates. But Forrest Gump, when he returned from Vietnam, ran into Lieutenant Dan, who now has no legs and is a little bit bitter. And Lieutenant Dan asked Forrest point blank, "Have you found Jesus yet, Gump?" Do you remember what Forrest's answer was? A good Lutheran answer. His answer was, "I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for Him, sir." Luther reminds us that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe my Lord Jesus Christ or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. This morning the irony is that it's not your job to go looking for Jesus. Jesus is the one looking for you. He's the one that searches you out. When Mary and Joseph appeared on the scene, Mary was, well, as furious as Mary can get, says, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And Jesus said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Really, the Greek says that I must be among the things of my Father. "Didn't you know, Mom, that I needed to be among the things of my Father?" Other translations say, "about my Father's business." What's the business of the Father after all? One word, redemption. Redemption. It's buying back people like you and me who take our eyes off Jesus and focus upon all our own priorities. Jesus' job and the work of the Father, His business is that we are redeemed, purified, made righteous in God's sight. In spite of what we have done, said, or thought, it is wiped away. But the reality is, what exactly are the things of the Father? Well, this morning as we observe this second Sunday after Christmas, we're reminded of what the things of the Father are. Perhaps this morning you've come here looking for the things of the Father. But where are they? Are you in great distress like Mary and Joseph, frantically searching around to find the things of the Father, to find where Jesus is at? I'll tell you this morning, don't look for Him within your heart, which is teeming with sin and death. Don't look for Him on the old rugged cross where He placed Himself under the burden of God's law to die as a sacrifice for your sins because He was removed from the cross. This morning, look for Jesus in the voice of your pastor. When He says the words, "As a called ordained servant of the Word, I forgive you all of your sins," it's not my voice you should hear. You should hear the voice of Jesus searching for you, calling you back to His side. Look for Him in the font, where word is spoken, water is poured, and there Jesus Christ is alive and an active, washing and redeeming and purifying even the vilest of sinners. Look for Jesus at the rail, where you kneel and place your hands out and receive His very flesh and blood. There Jesus Christ found you. This morning I got a question for you. Have you misplaced Jesus? I've got good news for you. He's found you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.